Our speaker today is Richard LeBlanc. In 1998, Richard created the Youth Employment Project in Victoria, which served the homeless and high-risk populations and mirrored the successful therapeutic community model. Following work on that project, he began to develop Woodwind Farms in Central Saanich as a therapeutic farm community. In this model, each participant develops confidence, a positive value system, and a career plan to help ensure personal and employment stability throughout their life. Richard's dream was to apply this model to help the many people who now call the streets of Victoria home. As the executive director of the Creating Homefulness Society, Woodwind Farms, he began participating in Journey to the Edges on February the 14th to raise awareness and funds for Victoria's homeless community and the Creating Homefulness Society. As a condition of this journey, he changed places with a homeless man who had been living out of his van for the past 2 years. His intention was to stay on the streets until the following objectives were met. 2012 people writing letters to Central Saanich Mayor and Council, and 2012 people donating 99 cents a day to the Creating Homefulness Society Woodwind Farms. This is the second time Richard has spoken to our church, and we are honored and delighted to have him with us here again. Please welcome Richard.
Good morning, everyone. And if you cannot hear me, please raise your hands. I'm told I have a rather soft voice for speaking in public, so let me know. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you this morning. I have been working in the realm of homelessness for the past 14 years, and approximately 500 homeless individuals that I've worked very directly with. And homelessness is an enormous topic. And Woodwind Farm, and it's extremely complex. And Woodwind Farm itself is an enormous project and extremely complex. So I will, for the fact that I don't have 10 hours to talk to you solid, I'll zero in on the Journey to the Edges campaign. The expression, do not judge a person until you've walked a mile in their shoes, I guess I took it a little too seriously, or more seriously than most. And on February 14th, I did trade places with a homeless person. The intention beforehand was to for me to sleep in alleyways and bushes and live that aspect of homelessness. And there are many various forms of being homeless in our society. But it wasn't until we had taken a person from the streets of Brentwood Bay, actually. This fellow had been sleeping out of his van for almost 2.5 years. And he'd been struggling and couldn't get out of that lifestyle. And we'd welcomed him to the farm almost exactly that same time. So we chose to do a trading places aspect so that we could show the contrast of what I was experiencing versus what he was experiencing from the help that he was getting at Woodwind Farms. And it was an amazing experience to undertake because for such a long time I'd been struggling with feedback and an understanding that there's a confusion as to why we even have homelessness in our community, in our society, and we have such phenomenal abundance. And when people come back from visits in third world countries and they come back and they say, well, that's real poverty and that's real homelessness. And the economics of third world countries are obviously starkly different from our realities here in North America and in Canada and BC and the phenomenal abundance of resources that we have here in Victoria. And it's perplexing. Why do we have homeless people? It just makes no sense whatsoever to be struggling in that kind of way, yet surrounded by phenomenal abundance. And it's called real poverty there, and this isn't real poverty, it's hard to understand. So walking a mile in a person's shoes like that became a powerful experience to flesh out the dialogue, to flesh out the issues, to see firsthand. And get firsthand feedback from folks. And when I say folks, I'm referring to police, I'm referring to social workers, and I'm referring to the homeless, of course, directly in the conversations and one-on-one experiences I had. And a powerful dimension that unfolded was to get a lot of feedback from the families of, so the brothers and sisters, the parents and children of the homeless. And what seemed to unfold was phenomenal stigmas. Stigma is pervading that part of who we are as a society. And stigma is another word for judgment. And stigma and judgment, they're also called prejudice. And stigmas mean everybody's struggling with fear around the issues, everybody's struggling with confusion around the issues. And stigma will affect the person who has, let's say, a mental illness or an addiction and is afraid to come forward with it, and certainly afraid to come forward with their fears of what's happening to them early enough to be helped at an early enough stage. If you can imagine the difference between if you find out that you're experiencing symptoms of bipolar or depression or schizophrenia or an addiction due to a bad decision of tinkering with drugs that you maybe shouldn't have. And, could you sit around the dinner table and say, well, guess what, Mom, I'm hearing voices. It's a very different experience to, geez, I went to the doctor yesterday, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And you'd know that you're going to get a different level of empathy, sympathy, compassion, support if you're diagnosed with an otherwise mainstream illness like cancer or diabetes or Parkinson's. You'll be inundated with support, you'll be inundated with care, certainly treated respectfully. And when it's something like an addiction or a mental illness, you're treated with, you feel fear yourself, you're treated with fear, and that just seems to be the human dynamic at the moment. This affects decision-making by government, this affects decision-making by social services, this affects how police folks who are having struggling with those issues, and lo and behold, here we are, fearful families around the issues. We have fearful social workers. We have fearful decision makers in the way of policies with government and medical delivery. So here's some examples that I and it's a slippery slope being on the streets. And so here's some examples of what I experienced firsthand. I blogged, it was February 14th, so it was a coldish time of year. It is Victoria, it's not Winnipeg, so we accept that it's somewhere in the middle as far as harshness is concerned. And this day and age of social media became a powerful tool to blog on a daily basis of what was going on. And at that time of year, I found myself some nights scraping frost from the inside of the glass of this tin can box of a van. And I'd blog about it the next day, and then I'd be sitting in a cafe shivering for hours and hours and trying to warm up and trying to get as much mileage out of that coffee as I could, because I was on a $320 a month budget. And how do you survive on $320 a month and the logistics around that? Because that's what social services says. If you've got these illnesses, that's your budget. And I blog about it, and I get feedback, and people are genuinely wanting to help and be supportive. And the help was in the form of advice on where to park the van or position myself differently at night, that there's some parkades that have some warm air vents that come up from underneath, and you can get some warm air. And then if you line the inside of your van with some cardboard, and this fellow gave me advice as to where I can get a good stockpile of cardboard and line the inside of the van, and then I'll be able to stay much warmer, and it would be a few degrees warmer. And I thanked him very much for this. Is dialogue on Facebook, by the way. I thanked him very much, and I said, but is this the best level of care that we can give in our society, is here's where to find a warm air vent and some cardboard? And if this was your family member who was suffering from cancer, and the cancer solution was, well, here's $320 a month, here's where you can find some cardboard, here's where you can find a warm air vent, and good luck, see you later, and don't come back, kind of thing. We have just such, because of the stigmas, we have such phenomenally different levels of care that we're offering as a society. Another one was a fellow told me where I could get a really good sleeping bag. And so is sleeping bag the best we can do as a society? Is here's where to find a really good sleeping bag. See you later. Good luck. Don't bother me. And I certainly don't want to see you, and I don't want to see you in my neighborhood. And don't be a burden to me. I think we can do better. I think we can do a lot better as a society. I think we need to think this through. I think we need to be far more empathetic. We need to find far higher levels of care. And the root source of it is to get past the stigmas, get past the judgment, get past the fears around what is happening to our loved ones. If I could ask just for a moment to get a show of hands of how do you have anyone, a close one to person to you, who has had a life-changing mental illness or addiction, if I could have a show of hands. Amazing. We don't have to go very far, do we? Thank you. It's just a reality of our society, and it's a slippery slope. So I'll come back to another story of my experience on the street. So as I'm trying to live on this $320 a month budget, and I've got this van, and so it's a medium lifestyle as far as homelessness goes. And I'm being coached by Ed, the fellow whose van I traded places with, and he's telling me how to be wiser and stay out of trouble, kind of thing. And don't ever park twice in the same place. You're trying to stealthily be in the neighborhood and not have people notice you, which is a whole psychological dynamic of its own. And be extremely focused on the gas gauge, because $320 is food and fuel and insurance and on and on and on. So one morning I woke up, I was cold, and I thought I'd turn the van on to fire up some heat into the van. And nothing. And so dead battery. Not a big deal. I'm a pretty handy kind of guy. I get out there, tinker with it, and it was a Sunday. And through the day, I realized that it's completely dead battery. Some friends actually came along and tried to boost, and nothing happened. We brought a charger out. It wouldn't take a charge. It's an old van, 1991 van. The poles on the battery were rusted solid, and so we had to cut the wires. So by the end of the day, a couple of trips back and forth to Canadian Tire, $140 bill. Well, now I have $320 less $140 to survive for the rest of the month. And it's a slippery slope, because then you make the decision, do I eat less through this month, or do I give up the van? Do I walk away from the van? Well, if you walk away from the van, or you just leave the van, in that same spot, well, the van is probably going to get towed eventually, because neighbors are going to complain. And then you're looking at the tow bill plus the stowage bill while it's in storage until you can get enough money to get it out. So you have to make this decision, do I keep the van or not? And if you're without that van, now your level of lifestyle has just slipped to a couple of more notches down. And it's a slippery slope. And there's this one example of how this person is extremely vulnerable, and we are just being inadequate in our ways of helping support people turn their lives around. So there we are. Build awareness, to build an awareness of where the stigmas are leading and impacting our decision making, how we can find better ways to help people. In society, in North America, social services generally have 5 to 15% success rate at helping people turn their lives around. 12-step programs have up to 7% success rates. The therapeutic community model can have 30 to 40% success rates. Urban-based therapeutic communities and rural-based, farm-based therapeutic communities can have over 70% success rates. So we are at Woodwind Farms, we're modeled after an organization called San Patrigano. After 34 years, they've worked with almost exactly 20,000 addicts with a 72% long-term success rate. Success is measured as sobriety and self-reliance, the ability to stay clean and sober, and the ability to stay employed. And so to bring back a moment of when you thought about who in your life had experienced a life-changing mental illness or addiction, and they're in that vulnerable state, and who knows where it may or may not go, and for some, the person winds up homeless. Either way, do you want to give the person a 5% chance to turn their lives around, or do you want to give the person a 70% chance to turn their life around? And it's really different when it hits home versus being a report that you read in a newspaper or some other disconnected kind of way. So I did walk a few miles in the shoes of a homeless person in that form. Yeah, there are differences. I did know that there was going to be an end to it. I did in a van rather than sleeping in bushes and alleyways, and I'm grateful for the fellow who agreed to the Trading Places deal that I offered him. He kind of looked at me kind of crazy when I first offered it to him, like, what are you thinking? And after that experience, I think we've raised awareness to some degree, but we need to continue to do so. We need to raise our bar of expectations of what we can offer as a society and help far more people and in a better, higher quality kind of way. Woodwind Farm is intended to be a very holistic, comprehensive place of support where a person is there 24/7. They get a warm, safe, dry place to sleep. They get three meals a day in the way of rebuilding their physical vitality. Life on the streets is harsh in the biochemistry of a person's brain and body. All their vital organs begin to deteriorate over time. And physical work outside in the fresh air and a community of support. And that's our formula for help. It's far more complex than that, but I don't have 10 hours to share it with you. and that's what I invite our community to embrace and become a part of. And folks, we've begun to have far more support from churches and school groups and local high schools and such. And the potential is there. The potential is to help thousands of people at such a wonderful place, and the potential is to make a really big difference in our community. Thank you for this opportunity to talk to you today.